The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We are going to step into the conversation here at Freedom 106.5 FM. From Common Entrance to SEA, is it time for change? Yeah, we're going to start with introducing Mr. Walter Stewart, the National Parent Teachers Association President. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, sir. And I know that this isn't the first time you've been speaking with us, but good morning to you once again.
Good morning, and I'm very happy to be here. Let me wish the Christian community a very happy Holy Week this week leading up to Easter. Thank you for having me.
So the discussion that we had a couple days ago after the SEA exams is, you know, it's a perennial one. It's one that comes around ever so often, especially when kids do express their nervousness. And the question did come about asking if it is time for a different structure to assess the children before entering into the next stage of life. Have you any thoughts on this? And has that conversation come to the Parent Teachers Association at all?
Well, let me say that there has to be some mode of certification in order to move from one level to the next, according to our education system here in Trinidad and Tobago. So previously, before 2000, we had the Common Entrance Examination, which of course I would have gone through as well as a child decades ago. And in 2000, we moved up to Secondary Entrance Assessment, now called, well, referred to as SEAC. There will always be, no matter what particular certification is being used, there would always be challenges, there would always be problems, there would always be issues. I think what has to be considered is the understanding that we prepare our children for this certification, for this examination from the get-go. In other words, when the child gets into first year at 5 years old, we are propelling them and pivoting them or what is to come 7 years down the road. Many times, what happens is that we take our time, and in standard three, standard four, we intensify the discussions, the awareness, and the importance of the examinations at the standard five level. I pause.
So one of the, as you brought up the assessment from as early as 5 years old, the conversation of understanding the children's abilities, where they should be placed, is the system of that placement and recognizing their abilities. Is that a strong component of that assessment?
Oh, certainly. I want to take you back as well to what would have been considered to be CAC, continuous assessment component of the examination. In other words, instead of, because some children are, let me use the word allergic to exams, and they get exam jitters at that point in time when they're writing their examinations. So that if we give them a continuous assessment program where we monitor them and assess them ongoing from the time they enter school up until standard five, to be a better arrangement. With regards to your specific issue on placement examinations now, then of course the conversation will now be, are we now going to be zoning the students, or are we now going to allow them to choose their first choice and take it from there?
The continuous assessment program was introduced, I believe, early 2000s, as to a means of, as you say, continuously assessing the progress of the child, because as you mentioned, some children go into a state of panic. Now, the question of record keeping and the fairness of having these continuous assessments was also brought up. Has there been any changes within how those records are kept and used to reach a final grade?
Right. And that's a very important question, because now the ministry is moving into digitization, as you are probably aware. And everything that goes through the ministry, even including teachers' records, teachers' job letter, etc., would be now a digitized arrangement, which of course is very laudable. If at all we are able to be able to digitize the results of these continuous assessment programs that the students are doing from the get-go, it is going to help us a child's progress or lack thereof, and be able to intervene at an early age as to how can I help my child on an ongoing basis.
So the, I guess, knowledge and information on how the digitization will go will obviously ease parents' minds as to how their children would be assessed.
Certainly, certainly. Mm-hmm. I know one of the drawbacks as well, and it's similar to the SBAs, which is being done at the secondary school level. You want to make sure that the integrity of the system is intact and remains intact, because if you are giving a child an assessment or giving the child procedure to work on, you want to ensure that the child is really doing it and not the teacher or in some instances, the parent. Mm-hmm. So the integrity on how this continual assessment program is being rolled out would be of paramount importance to us as parents to ensure that the results reflect the child's ability and the child's progress in the particular discipline.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the parts of the conversation as well is the perceived designation of schools as prestige schools and then all other schools. Is there a way that we can find to change that narrative and mental thinking where schools are concerned that will make the anxiety levels for children lower?
Well, I have my personal view on the terminology prestige schools, mm-hmm. because at the end of the five-year period, at the secondary school level, we all do the same examinations, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So there is no prestige school examination or no other type of school examinations. And I think each school can be made prestige. In other words, if we are doing the same subjects, we are doing the same curriculum, we are working along the same tenets of the education process, it is up to the school's administration to be able to direct the students in such a way that at the end of the day, they get full on maximum certification. And of course, be called, if you want to use the terminology, which I hate, be called a prestige school. So it's really about the school leading the way insofar as the end of the day, the passes or the certifications are concerned.
So more onus on the school administration to bring up the standard, quote unquote standard of the school to be considered prestige. You think it's more on their part to do that?
Oh, certainly. And of course, the students need to realize that when they enter the school, that of course they have a duty of care as well to be able to make sure that the image of the school, and we're talking school discipline now as well, mm-hmm. the image of the school is at a level where you can be considered prestige. I look at the denominational schools, and I'm not being biased now to the denominational schools, but many of the reports that we are seeing in the public domain with regards to bullying, school and discipline, whilst many might say that the denominational schools know how to cover and push them under the carpet, but of course, the majority of these incidents actually take place within the doors or the precincts of our government secondary schools.
Mm-hmm. And it is a listed fact that is. So can you alert or identify reasons for that?
For the government schools as well as the national schools?
Yes, as opposed to denominational schools and as you said, mentioned government schools, what would be the cause for that?
Well, again, it would have to lean heavily on administration. And I'm making a broad statement here now with regards to administration. Mm-hmm. Many times, a teacher might be taken or promoted. Today, you are a teacher. Tomorrow, you are a principal. And we strongly want to advocate that there be some kind of management measuring stick for teachers who are entering into administration or being in charge of the administration at the principal level. Because certainly teaching a classroom and managing a school are two different types of arrangement. And we have to ensure that our management or principals now and vice principals have the temerity, the skills, the abilities in order to be able to run successfully and to administer at that management level. Mm-hmm. What is required for a secondary school in particular I'm looking at. So that the denominational schools, by virtue of their high regard for discipline, and high regard for the image of the school through their school boards, will work tenaciously to ensure that the image and the outlook of the school is paramount and remains ideal. The same needs to be applied to our government secondary schools as well, that the management of the secondary schools, the government secondary schools, is such that they would want to ensure that the administration and the students adhere to the dictates and the format of the discipline matrix that the school has to be able to inculcate in the students.
Now, I would like the callers as well to call in, and if you have any suggestions or questions for the NPTA president, Mr. Stewart, you can call in as well. And, of course, 306-1065, your comments via our WhatsApp number. Now, during the conversation right after the SE exam on Freedom 106.5 FM, a former teacher called in and made a very unusual suggestion in that, yes, the establishment of the idea of prestige schools / government schools comes from the marks that are gained by individual students. You know, this percentage, you go to your first choice, et cetera, saying that maybe rotating the teachers from prestige schools into the government schools may challenge the students a little more in that, for some reason, it was perceived that the prestige school teachers seem to be putting more effort, and maybe changing that, doing that rotation would give some sort of, like I said, challenge. What do you think about that? Is that a suggestion that has any merit?
No, I don't think so at all. I think a teacher is a teacher is a teacher. Mm-hmm. And the same effort and emphasis placed on the prestige school teacher should be the same effort, emphasis, and passion of the otherwise considered school. Mm-hmm. What I think is important, though, for us to look at is specialization at the primary school level. I tell you why. Because not all the teachers who teach at the primary school level would be versed in, let's say, mathematics, for example, or English, for example, so that there might be an opportunity here now for us to look at specialization for our teachers at the primary level to ensure that literacy and numeracy, and that's another conversation as well, literacy and numeracy are paramount and placed high importance on, again, from the first year level of our students all the way up. Mm-hmm. One other consideration could be that we look at our standard 3, 4, and 5 teachers. And in order to build that relationship, not only with the student and the teacher, but to build that relationship with the teacher, the student, and the parent or the caregivers, if we have the same teacher throughout standards 3, 4, and 5, it might be able to lend some more support to our students and our parents to be able to see the child through standard 5. I know in many instances, the standard 4 teacher normally goes up with the standard 5 students. So there's a 4
a
and
continuation.
5 seamless transition because mm-hmm. the teacher is the same. But if we should have this now in the standard 3 level, it will probably go a greater way to help our students with the SEA examinations.
All right, we'll come back to the specialization of subjects and probably looking into offering other subjects than what is presented. Well, let's take some calls right now and find out what your questions are. Hello, good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning, welcome.
Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm learning a lot by listening to him, certainly. I have a question. I am curious to know whether you feel it is the remit of your union to make representation to the ministry for a review of the system of discipline, especially within the public schools and them. I don't believe that suspension and even expulsion is teaching the child on the receiving end that what they have done, they need to take responsibility for it. There's a point where a child supposed to learn that their behavior is unacceptable. I don't believe that suspension or expulsion is teaching that child that lesson. And as a result, I think a system should be put in place where a child should be placed somewhere in an alternate institution. Possibly the extension of the MILAT program or one of those things where a child can be, their behavior can be looked at and in a system that is parallel. So they're learning their behavioral reconfiguration while they're being taught at the same time.
Thanks so much.
I think I'll go on.
Yeah, thanks so much. Any comments on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, we are not a union. We are an association that advocates for students, just to make that correction. But the guy, with regards to the school indiscipline, is as though he's a fly on the wall, because quite recent as February, we had calls based upon the uptick now in school indiscipline of schools, especially, as you would have seen, even now students and teachers fighting. We have had calls to write to the Ministry of Education through the CEO to request an urgent meeting to look at the discipline matrix and other issues that relate to school indiscipline, because certainly, I mean, this thing is out of hand, totally out of hand now.
From observations as well and comments from when I was in school, younger generation and so on, the viciousness of the attacks.
Yes.
And the different types of I don't know if it's the way in which these things,
really too much.
It's aggressive. Yeah. It's beyond it what it we is. Know it to be.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, our greatest fear is that something fatal might happen with regards to the degree of the fights and the discipline we are seeing taking place in our schools. And we have to address this as a matter of urgency and immediately, lest, of course, we all hold our heads in proverbial shame. Mm-hmm. So we are calling on the Ministry again of Education to meet with us as a main stakeholder in education and discuss what is taking place in our schools with regards to school indiscipline and seek to address it urgently.
Mm-hmm. Please. It only seems that it may escalate even further. Well, just touching back on... we don't want that, because they will be the ones governing the country and taking care of us old folks when their time comes.
Indeed.
So going back to the topic of subjects, now there is a standard set of subjects moving away from SEA and looking at secondary school as well. There is a basic set of subjects that is offered for certification, as you suggested. Is there a conversation that can be had in offering other subjects that have not been previously explored by schools, so that children who are more adept or adept in these subjects, vocational subjects, entrepreneurial subjects, move away from the traditional ones? Is that conversation happening at all?
Well, even before I get there, let me talk about civics. I don't know if you've ever heard the word civics. I'm not sure what your age is, but civics was a subject taught in eons ago, relevant to morality and issues of that nature. And sometimes, it is opportune as well to probably look at getting back to civics in order to be able to ensure that the ethics and the morals of our students are taken into consideration. But certainly, there needs to be an emphasis as well on tech doc, because some of our students, ma'am, are not academically inclined, though of course we want them to be able to get the basics in terms of literacy and numeracy, so that we also know that there are students who are very gifted and skilled with using their hands. I made the example quite recently of me, who had plumber come to my house. He spent about 10 minutes, if so much, on doing the particular repairs. When I asked him what's the cost, that's $300 for what he had come to do as a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that there is money afoot for people who are skillful and people who could use their hands. And once we can get them to understand that whilst academics would be important, literacy and numeracy, and you are so gifted, you are so skilled in looking at other avenues, tech voc-wise, full scale, let's go ahead with it, even from the primary school level.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we could talk about the introduction of financial literacy in schools as well. Has that been part of the discussion? This is Freedom 106.5 FM. You're inside The Human Impact, and we're speaking with the National Parent Teacher Association president on many matters, from common entrance to SEA. Is it time for change? We'll be right back. So briefly recapping the conversation that we've had so far, we talked about options or different formats for the assessment for children for SEA, because we always continuously talk about every single year the stress that children are under, by extension, the stress that parents are under, and then the disappointment some children feel when they are welcomed or sent to a school that is not quote-unquote prestige, and the whole stigma that is attached to the labeling of schools as such. We talked about the suggestion of by a former teacher to rotate students and how that is more, I guess, a fantasy than really something that could be applied. And Mr. Stewart did speak about specialization of subjects by teachers so that more attention and focus can be placed on that. Talked about adding more subjects to the curriculum that would more face or address the differences in academic prowess. Some may be academically inclined and some may be towards TEDVOC, as he calls it, technical vocation subjects where you can use your hands and so on. We left off at introducing or reintroducing civics, Mr. Stewart, as one of the subjects that should be introduced from the primary school level, entering to secondary school so that the students have a little more holistic idea of patriotism, being able to know what the country is all about. From that, I asked you about financial literacy. Would you think that that would be a fantastic subject or something that is definitely needed in the school curriculum?
Yes, certainly. And let me applaud as well. I know I went to a school recently and there was a particular credit union at that school seeking to invite students to open accounts with them and to be able to get into a savings program, a savings mechanism. Mm-hmm. Those are aspects which are highly, 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 highly commendable because it is setting the tone for students, even at an early age, to understand the need for savings, the need for investment, and the need to pay attention to financial literacy. So yes, we fully endorse financial literacy as well, even from the primary level, mm-hmm. so that students will get into that, well, that feel or that aura of the need to save and the need to invest from an early age.
Now, speaking from the social aspect of it, would there be more concentration on how interpersonal interaction should be taught at schools? How would that be addressed?
Social with regards to students being able to socialize.
And also interact with each other, because clearly they don't know how to do that, as you see with the fights and the interactions that lead to incidents of violence or disagreements. You know, just the basic understandings of how to conflict resolve.
Exactly, and that's the point. Because if students are able to socialize in an amenable way, a friendly way, a civilized way and format, this is certainly going to help them with regards to when they get into secondary schools, for example. Mm-hmm. And this should not only be inculcated at the primary school level, but even in our communities as well. The communities are supposed to also inculcate that level of socialization in our children. So our play parks, for example, or squares, for example, where children would commune, there is supposed to be a level of high socialization there. And being able to play and be able to enjoy each other's company in an atmosphere of tranquility and serenity. So yes, we want to ensure that there is that level of socialization as well among our students, even at the primary school level.
There's a message coming in at 306-1065. Tosca, good morning to your guest and to also to you. I have observed a growing reluctance of teachers to attend PTA meetings, and it is a common complaint among many parents. Is the NPTA noticing this trend? If so, how can it be reversed?
Oh, certainly. One of the issues that we have to look at as well is that teachers themselves have their own domestic arrangement. And we have realized that if we call a PTA meeting post 3 o'clock or post the time for the school, when the school ends, teachers are saying, but I have my child to collect at X school or Y school, and they have their other domestic arrangements as well to do. Mm-hmm. What we are trying to inculcate, especially since post-COVID, is of course that level of online meetings as well, where teachers, we could be talking about teachers now, can stay in their vehicles, in their cars, in their homes, and still be able to be a part of the meeting. We are also encouraging some issues with regards to changing of the times. In other words, I've gone to a school quite recently where the PTA meeting was at 1 o'clock. So the school would have been dismissed early to allow the parents and the teachers to attend the PTA meetings, because teachers would normally be dismissed at, say, 2:33. So at least there's that window ma'am, from 1 o'clock to 2:33, where teachers can be an integral part of our PTA meetings. I've also seen where principals have mandated certain teachers. In other words, if there's a school of, let's say, 20 teachers, you will mandate, let's say, 8 teachers to attend the meeting this particular month and another 8 the other month. You know, so there's a rotation basis with the involvement of teachers. That's why it's called parent-teacher relationship. The need for that togetherness, the need for that unity, the need for that coming together of parents and teachers in the interest of the students, in the interest of the child. As a matter of fact, our motto at the National PTA is home and school united for the good of the child.
So my next question would be, what do they need? What tools are required for these things to be executed well? I know that teachers are also parents, and they have their own social life and social adaptations that they need to fulfill. Now, you brought up a very good, I guess, solution to the attendance of the PTA meetings via Zoom, as we are doing right now. You're not sure where your location is, but however you can, chime in and be part of this interview.
Yes.
Yeah, which makes it a lot easier for teachers who have those commitments as well, because you could have this meeting on your phone while you're driving in your car to collect said child. The use of these tools, is it that there should be some sort of retraining where these modern tools are concerned, and a little more education to parents as well, understanding these tools?
Oh, certainly. And of course, we are in a digitized age, and technology. Even my 2-year-old grandson, for example, is quite adept with regards to using cell phone, etc.
Listen but to me, it's a little scary if you ask me. I just find that very scary.
I know it is. That's why, of course, we are now having to monitor the screen time as well, mm-hmm. even for him at age 2, so that there's limited screen time as well for him. But yes, we need to make sure that our parents are proficient enough, are being able to use the devices that they have for the benefit of conducting said meetings, and that they would readily adapt to the use of devices for online meetings at our PTAs. This will really go a long way in terms of increasing the attendance of PTA meetings. And as you said, people could be wherever they are and still be able to be in and pay attention and make contributions as well, meaningful contributions to our meetings via online arrangements.
Mm-hmm. The question of challenging students a little further than their capabilities, is there discussion as to maybe the use of other tools as well to challenge students to meet more of a international standard? Or at least I should say the international changes in environments, workspace, and so on. Has that been considered at all?
I know the ministry is looking at e-books. As a matter of fact, since the year 2022, there was talk about the transferring of the heavy load that students have, because as you know, students carry these
heavy books,
heavy weight of books, exactly, so that the government was looking at from 2022 transferring into e-books. That is something that the National PTA will think seriously about in terms of being able to now transgress or transpose into that type of arena in order to help our students with regards to the heavy load as well. And of course, getting into more digitized arrangement certainly is something that we can look at.
And moving into the more digitized age, can we see those kinds of adaptations taking place with the SEA exam? Probably moving away from the written to these tablets? Would that be a futuristic thought?
One of the things that we also need to look at there is our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. If you know our load shedding as well, or electrical capacity as well, based upon the ages of some of these schools, that needs to be a critical conversation for us to even consider getting into e-books, and of course, looking at that scope as well. It's something that I'm sure the ministry is looking into with regards to infrastructure. It's always a perennial problem every year around this time as we head into the end of the third semester of this academic year. But it's something that they need to look at in terms of revamping all our schools, bar none, so that we would be able to ensure that the electrical load can be able to bear the weight of all these digitized arrangements that we want to put in place.
And the thing is, the world is moving so quickly that we have to stay at a pace. We don't want to be left behind at all.
Yes, certainly not.
In that regard, as we have time for one more question, are there any thoughts as to, from the National Parent Teachers Association, what y'all would like to see come into fruition for, let's say, the next 2-3 years in terms of delivering the quality education that our students deserve?
Well, let me look at the curriculum in particular. I'm not necessarily calling for curriculum reform, but adherence to the curriculum. Because at the end of the day, ma'am, what students are judged on, what students are examined on, is really the content of the curriculum. So that if there is greater care and attention and due diligence placed on the curriculum at the teaching level and at the parental level, in other words, we as parents should be au courant with what the contents of the curriculum are, and be able to monitor our students to ensure that the teaching that they are getting at school is in line with the content of the curriculum, as well as the clinical supervision necessary by the Ministry of Education or school supervisors or principals to ensure that the delivery of the curriculum is in keeping with required standards to prepare the child, to prepare the students for the certification at the end of the, 7 years at the SEA level and 5 years or 7 years at the CXC and the CAPE level.
And also, if it can be applied to the current job world that we're in, the curriculum as well.
Right. And of course, just yesterday, CXC would have had a press conference speaking about disciplines and, of course, moving our students now from looking at the job world and aligning their subject take or their subject preferences in terms of what they are going to accomplish at this certification level. I think the Ministry of Planning needs to also play a role here, because if they're able to tell us what are the employment needs, I'm talking about Trinidad and Tobago context now, what are the employment needs of Trinidad and Tobago, we can probably direct our students from the secondary level in particular to looking at some of these professions and directing their attention and their subject choices to those particular disciplines and professions available in Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, I can squeeze in one call. Let's see what you have to say. Good morning to you, and thanks for holding.
Hi, good morning, Tasca.
Good morning.
I just wanted to ask your guest if he thinks it's time to look at the Concordat in terms of reducing the percentage of from 20% to, say, like about 5%.
And what would be the reasoning? Yeah, well, what would be the reasoning for the reduction, though? I'm trying to understand your question.
Well, I called Monday about spreading the abilities of the students in the prestige school.
You're the former teacher. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So
the answer, yes. Sorry, sir.
You can go ahead, Mr. Stewart. Yeah. Kola, are you finished with your point?
I think that if we reduce the percentage of the students and we try to accommodate more students, well, as I said, different abilities of the students in the prestige school, and we have some of them going to the comprehensive schools and so on, that the society will be better served. Because in terms of tech box, people always say, you know, the students who don't do so well, they can go into tech box and use their hands and so on. But when you think about upward mobility of the student, in terms of a student might do plumbing, and after only probably 25 years, 30 years, he probably want to decide to be a plumbing engineer. We need a better quality student to graduate towards things like that now. Mm-hmm. In any other subject, electrical installation and all the other tech box subjects. So we cannot just say that students who are not good with their hands should do tech box. We need to have a variety of
skills.
The skills, yeah. So that people can progress upwards instead of remaining probably just a plumber all the time. or a carpenter, or what have you, at the labor level.
Thanks so much for your call. Mr. Stewart?
And that's the holistic education as well, so that we can have children or students, rather, who are multifaceted and multidisciplined as well. In other words, they are good at academics, they are good at culture, they are good at tech, book, etc. That's the ideal child that we really want. But to answer the question of the concordat, allow me to say that this is something that we are looking into, the National Parent Teacher Association. As we know, this has been in existence since 1960. And of course, there's always need at all material times to review and relook at institutions and agencies which have been placed. They are not tattooed or they are not cast in stone. And there is always need, even as the Constitution is, there's always need to look at reviewing the tenets of that document called the Concordat since 1960. So it's something that we are looking into as well, sir, and members of the public.
You mentioned something very interesting in that there are students who can be multifaceted and multi-subject oriented. Is it that the thought of mainstreaming students into one subject area or profession may be gives the country a disadvantage because you may lose out on skilled employees or entrepreneurs later on? Is there a way that the ministry can discuss that and allow students to be multifaceted?
Oh, yes, certainly. I think that the ministry would be amenable to looking at concepts, programs, mechanisms, whereby the child at the end of the day could be multifaceted, multi-talented, multi-skilled. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will really make a better patriotic child as well, and a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago, that you have several disciplines, several skills in your arsenal. So it's something that the ministry and, of course, the National PTA as well could look at, engaging and seeing how we can chart the way forward with regards to this particular thought and concept.
Well, Mr. Stewart, we're running out of time, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us here at Freedom 106.5 FM on maybe the reachings of ideas for the advancement of our children and maybe the changing of the way in which we see education.
Yes, most definitely. And I know that the current Prime Minister, Mr. Stewart Richard Young, SC, very early in his salvo, he did indicate that he's looking at the education system. As a matter of fact, he did call in the international boards. We are waiting for such meeting with the NPTA so that we can share our views as well. We can share our objectives as well with regards to the education system that is taking place in Trinidad and Tobago. Again, all in the interest of our children of Trinidad and Tobago.
Thank you so much, Mr. Stewart. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The very same, and thank you as well for having me. Appreciate it.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.